The following is a public notice. The Clintons are getting sick and tired of being accused of all the things they've done. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Roger Stone joins us tonight. He's been in the news all day. He's the author of a new book called The Myth of Russian Collusion. So just to get the mechanics of what happened this morning out of the way, we've seen the tape shot by CNN, which remarkably was across the street from your house very early this morning. And we saw the very large number of armed federal agents bringing you out of the house. Is there something we don't know? Do you have an arsenal at home? Had you made threats against prosecutors, threats of violence? I mean, is there context that we don't have?
No. First of all, it's disconcerting that CNN was aware that I would be arrested before my lawyers were informed. So that's disturbing. If it was a dangerous situation, which would merit the SWAT team, well, then CNN's cameraman would be in danger. I don't know why they would be allowed to be there. I had no firearm in the house. I don't have a permit for a firearm. I don't own a firearm. Only my wife, my two dogs, and my three cats were at home. I'm not a flight risk. In fact, I think my passport has expired, or it will expire in a few days. I have no record of criminal past. And frankly, they just could have contacted my attorney, and I would have voluntarily turned myself in.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show at your service, live in Chicago, live all over the globe. So we appreciate you tuning in today on your dial, or whether you're streaming the show or streaming the show from an app. I appreciate you coming into the show and listening. Also, you can get the podcast at katedalyradio.com, katedalyradio.com, and share those far and wide. Let's educate America on the truth and get the truth out there. So I appreciate you listening. I've got Uncle Milty with me, and we have such a fantastic guest. I want to waste no time in getting to him, and I cannot wait to hear what he has to say. And as we've been talking actually about you, Roger Stone, in the news, we were talking about that very day that Tucker handled so beautifully. You know, did you have an arsenal in your home that we were unaware of? I love this sarcasm because of the way the events turned out in January, and it was really horrific to watch. But I welcome you, Roger Stone, to the show.
I'm delighted to be here. You know, it was like being in a Fellini movie.
I can't imagine.
In the pre-dawn hours of January 25th, 29, night goggle wearing,
right,
SWAT team outfitted, AK-47 bearing, grenade bearing FBI agents surrounded my home to take me into custody. They brought a battering ram for the front door, which was unnecessary.
Jeez.
As I indicated in the interview with Tucker, I don't own a valid passport.
Mm-hmm.
You can't in Florida have both a firearm and a medicinal marijuana card.
Mm-hmm.
I have 66 years old glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
I find the medicinal marijuana to be extremely beneficial,
mm-hmm,
much better than the pills the eye doctor was giving me.
Sure.
So I don't, even though I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, I don't own a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to MSNBC and CNN, I have one of the most recognizable mugs on the planet.
Yes,
and therefore,
do.
The idea that I was going to flee undetected would have been impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And then later that morning, the government agreed to allow me to be released without posting a cash bond, which indicates that they don't believe I'm really a flight risk.
Bingo.
So I assume this over-the-top theater. They arrived in 17 armored vehicles. There was a helicopter overhead. I live on a canal, or I did. There were two amphibious units on the back of the house on the canal. I assume that this was to depict me for the public,
mm-hmm,
as some kind of gangster or some kind of, you know, like a drug kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, never mind the fact that CNN arrived 15 minutes before the FBI, according to my security cameras. Never mind the fact that the producer on the ground is a former special assistant to James Comey of the FBI. If the situation was really dangerous, and my next door neighbor who was trying to walk her dog at that hour was told to go back in her house and stay in her house because, mm-hmm, it was, why they were allowed to film my takedown is still an open question.
the political theater in this country is achieving great strides in basically trying to get the citizen to believe what it puts out. And this was quite horrific. I had Chris Ann Hall, our constitutional expert attorney, weighing in on this, and she thought it was horrific and wanted people to take a very big look at what they were up to and how they were doing and conducting this type of theater. And you as a citizen, how they actually directed these events. But I cannot wait to hear from you. What led to that arrest? And I think a lot of people out there want to know what led to this, truly what led to this that wasn't being talked about.
Well, as you probably know, the judge in my case has imposed a gag order.
Yes.
So I'm not able to talk about any aspect of the case. Mm-hmm. The tsunami now of fake news about me and about the case on CNN, on MSNBC, in the New York Times, in the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. There's a lot of disinformation out there that I am not able to address or even rebut at this time.
Right, or correct.
My time to talk will come in court at the appropriate time, as the judge said, and I'll have a lot to say when we get there. Mm-hmm. But between now and then, I am prevented to tell you much about my case.
Right.
Publicly, these are facts that are publicly known. I am charged with lying to Congress and two related charges, and not Russian collusion, not treason, not conspiracy, conspiracy to defraud the United States, as CNN and MSNBC predicted for 2 years. And I have pled not guilty. Mm-hmm. I will go to trial. I'm not going to change my plea. I intend to fight for exoneration. And that's all I'm really at liberty to say.
Okay. Uncle Milty?
Yeah, I am curious. In all the video of your arrest, you looked pretty relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a point during that time where you thought it might escalate and they might just try to execute you?
I was only concerned because my wife is, without her hearing aids, totally deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, she was in an upstairs bedroom sleeping. She had heard none of this.
Wow.
And I was afraid that they would, you know, wake her, give her a command, not realize that she was hard of hearing, think that she was disobeying, and shoot her. That thought flashed through my head. Now, I must say, the FBI agents were incredibly courteous and professional. It is interesting that some of the Miami-based agents were rolling their eyes and looking at me. But they were very professional. I wasn't mistreated in any way. But as you know, normally, in a white-collar crime like this, where I have no previous criminal record, they would contact my attorney, tell him that I was being indicted, and I would turn myself in voluntarily, which I, of course, would have done.
Yeah.
You know, you've been immersed publicly and politically for decades, starting with Nixon. Would you say that was the start, starting with Nixon? So have you ever seen anything like the temperature of Washington right now? In the whole course of your career, have you ever seen anything like this?
Well, I'm just a small correction, because in all honesty, my real beginning is with Barry Goldwater.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
I was 12 years old.
Okay.
But my next door neighbor gave me a copy of the book Conscience of a Conservative, and I was immediately transfixed. Up until that time, I wanted to be an actor. My parents thought that was a terrible idea. And then I realized after reading the book that politics was just show business for ugly people. And I no longer wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be in politics. And the idea of small government and individual liberty and privacy rights and getting government out of the bedroom and out of the boardroom and out of your pocket, a strong national defense as a deterrent, peace through strength, as opposed to the neocon adventures that we seem to have today under both Bush and Clinton and Obama, a less intrusive government. Those things really appealed to me. So I was a Goldwater zealot. I was deeply disappointed when he lost, but I was 12 years old, so I didn't realize that his prospects were not good.
Right.
And then I began to study the 1960 election, realized that Nixon had been robbed, wrote him a letter saying that. We began a correspondence that ultimately would lead to my going to work for him in his 1968 bid as a gopher in the New York office of the headquarters, and then reprising a role in the 1972 reelection, through President Nixon. I met Governor Ronald Reagan, worked on his 76, 80, and 84 campaigns. On his senior staff through the 80 campaign, I met Donald Trump, and the rest is history.
Wow. And it's been a long career. Have you seen anything like this with the way they've been on Trump, with the way that they've been to you? Have you ever seen anything like this?
I really haven't. The lack of comity in Washington is unlike anything I have seen. In the 80s and even in the 90s, under both Republican and Democratic presidents, I wasn't happy with the election of Bill Clinton, but I accepted it.
Sure.
I wasn't happy with the election of Barack Obama, but I accepted it. He won. I was hopeful that he would really bring hope and change. He didn't. But I've never seen a situation in which the losers will not acknowledge the results of a free Democratic election and spend their time and resources in working in collusion, shall we say, with the corporate-owned media to take down the president. I firmly believe, and this has nothing to do with my case, but according to the New York Times, on January 20th, 2017, there's a page one story above the fold that says that I was one of three Trump associates who were under surveillance by the Obama administration during the presidential campaign. The New York Times will not retract that story. I filed 30 Freedom of Information Act requests to try to learn more about it. We have been stonewalled by the government, who say they can't answer the question for reasons of national security. So I'm very anxious to get to the bottom of this. I believe that the intelligence agencies under Barack Obama were engaged in an abuse of power, which the authority and the capability of the state was used for political reasons to spy on the campaign of Donald Trump and his associates. And that, my friends, is a scandal much, much bigger than Watergate.
I agree.
Do you believe that the current administration, is with Barr as attorney general, is really going to prosecute any of these people?
Well, there's two separate questions. Are they going to illuminate for the American people what happened? I think the answer to that is yes. Will people actually be prosecuted? The answer is, I hope so.
Yeah.
It's very clear to me that that Mr. Comey and Mr. Brennan and Mr. McCabe and others broke the law. I do think now the president seems, in a terrific interview with Sean Hannity the other night, to say that he's going to declassify all of the information surrounding the FISA surveillance. I'm hopeful to learn something about my own situation in that.
Roger, we're going to come right back. Hang on for just a moment, and we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show with Roger Stone as our guest. Be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
You hear the work bell ring. Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. And you can go to katedalyradio.com on Facebook. It's The Kate Daly Show. On Twitter, it's The Kate Daly Show. It's easily found. And also, you can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com with any questions. We have Roger Stone with us. So happy that he has joined us today. I have Uncle Milty here. And of course, Roger Stone has been in the news over and over and over again. And he has been politically active for decades. He has, these tremendous things have been pinned on you, Roger, in the press. And, of course, the whole Russian collusion, the Mueller report. Does the Mueller report change anything for you?
Well, obviously, I think the public has seen the most important part, which is they found no evidence of Russian collusion.
Yes.
Beyond that, I'm not going to discuss the Mueller report.
Sure.
I do think the most aggravating thing for me is reading in the press constantly, self-described dirty trickster.
Yeah.
Now, I have never described myself that way. The people who work with me have researched this very extensively. Mm-hmm. Others have described me that way. They're usually liberal Democrats that I have beaten in an election. To me, a dirty trickster would be somebody like, Sidney Blumenthal.
Yep.
Now, there's a dirty trickster.
Mm-hmm.
The other day in an interview, somebody said, well, exactly what is a political dirty trick?
Yeah.
I said, give you a perfect example. Bobby Kennedy mails anti-Catholic literature attacking his brother to every Catholic household in West Virginia and puts Hubert Humphrey's name on it as if it came from Humphrey. That's a dirty trick. There's a classic example of a dirty trick. The liberals in the press don't want to hear that as a typical example.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw lots of we've seen decades of this kind of thing. And so you're right. I wondered about that. I saw that over and over again. And I thought, I wondered who penned that. Let me give you some names.
The LA Times, by the way, to their credit, printed a retraction. So I give them credit. They researched it extensively. Mm-hmm. They couldn't find it either. I have never described myself thusly.
Jeez. And I hope they didn't put it on the last page in small print, did they?
Probably.
I mean,
I'm
all right. Well, so I want to throw some names at you, and I'd love to hear if you can comment on them and tell me what your thoughts are, what you'd like people to know. President Trump, what would you like people to know?
Exceedingly independent, courageous, has an enormous amount of stamina, very unpredictable, the master of his own ship. In other words, Donald Trump is the strategist who got Donald Trump elected. Donald Trump is his own phrase maker, his own speechwriter, his own press secretary, his own speechwriter. He really was the single best thing about the Trump campaign. Very much his own man. Now, is he eccentric? Yeah. Abraham Lincoln was considered eccentric. Theodore Roosevelt was considered very eccentric. Franklin Roosevelt was considered eccentric. Some of our greatest presidents were considered eccentric. All that means is he's not your typical blow-dried, prepackaged politician. The two words I would associate with him most would be genuine and authentic. What you see is what you get. There's nothing phony or contrived or prefabricated about Donald Trump. He's a man of enormous courage.
Did you ever think differently about him until you had personal knowledge of him, until you had a personal interaction of him?
Well, you have to recognize, I started asking him, suggesting he run for president as early as 1988.
Wow.
I mean, I've known him 40 years.
Wow.
He was at my wedding. I was at two of his weddings. I was at the wake and funeral for both of his parents, who I knew very well. I helped get his sister appointed to the federal bench. She's a terrific, distinguished jurist. I knew his brother-in-law, who was a great attorney. I went to his wake and funeral. I have been friends with the family. I have great affection for his children. But I saw as early as 1988 that he had the size and the capacity and the independence and the cojones, if you will, to be president. And that he wasn't locked into the mistakes of the past. He had no investment in the endless foreign wars or the erosion of our civil liberties or our failed immigration policies or our stagnant economy, that he could break with the two-party duopoly and the elites of both parties that have run the country into the ground.
Yeah. All right. And your thoughts on James Comey?
Well, epically corrupt. You know, the other day I spoke in Sarasota, Florida, fundraiser for my legal defense fund. For the first time in a 50-year career, I gave a speech without wearing a necktie. That's because I saw Comey on CNN the other night. Seemed to be working pretty well for him. I gave him A for appearance, C for substance. This holier-than-thou act is not going to work. I think he lied to Congress. I think he broke the law. I think he should be prosecuted.
In fact, there was a big article about the CIA and the FBI arguing over who was more corrupt in the whole Russian scandal. I'm sure you probably got a giggle out of that, because here they are fighting over who is the most corrupt agency right now.
Well, I love the fact that Comey and Rosenstein are shooting at each other. The rats are turning on each other.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And those in the news, I know Gates has been in the news just recently within the last day or so. I thought you might want to give an opinion. You know, the certain people they say are going to be out there, going to be saying something. And as they roll these names through the press, what is your reaction?
I can't comment on that.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. And I thought that might be the case. Sam Nunberg.
There's a lot I'd like to say, but I can't comment on that
okay.
either.
We've actually had him on the show. Okay. And then also with this whole Russian scandal, this whole Russian scandal from the beginning. Did you see that coming?
You know, I really did not. And the irony, of course, is that it was Hillary Clinton and her husband who took $143 million from the Russian energy company through the Clinton Foundation when control of 20% of America's enriched uranium was on the table for transfer to Russia. It is John Podesta who made a fortune from the oligarchs around Vladimir Putin in banking, in uranium, in other endeavors. So this was, I think, the entire Russian collusion narrative is both offensive and defensive. They are the ones who are guilty of Russian collusion. And by the way, I don't think Rudy Giuliani is wrong, more specifically of Ukrainian collusion as well. And again, if it comes out as a hearty band of House Republicans like Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows and Lee Selden and Trey Gowdy have kind of forced out in public that the Steele dossier was, in fact, the only piece of evidence that was used to justify the FISA warrants that were used to spy on Donald Trump and his campaign, that makes Watergate look like small potatoes. That is an abuse of power. And then the question becomes an obvious one. What did the president know and when did he know it? The Peter Strzok text messages would indicate that he knew everything. So I think the American people would like to get to the bottom of this.
I think so, too. I definitely think so. And I want people to know they can help you as well. You have a legal fund. And the reason I say this is because I've interviewed people in this circumstance before. And it is especially the Gallaghers who are in the news right now as well. They are left with no way to fight for themselves because the federal government gets a blank check of our tax dollars to fight against anyone they want to fight against. And there's a reason they have a 97-98% win rate. And that's because they leave people high and dry to fight for themselves. How do people help you?
I think it's important to understand that 2 years of the drip, drip, drip by CNN and MSNBC that I was guilty of treason and conspiracy has really destroyed me financially. I've lost my home. I have lost my savings. I had to sell my car to pay my lawyers. I have lost most of my insurance. I've lost my ability to make a living because I write and speak. And I get paid for it. And of course, the very things that people would pay me to write and speak about are the very things that right now I'm not able to talk about.
Sure.
My legal defense is going to cost $2.5 million. And therefore, people who want to help me can go to stonedefensefund.com, stonedefensefund.com. You can give by credit card. You can give by PayPal. Or if you're one of those people who doesn't like to put their financial information on the internet, there's an address there where you can mailing me a check. I need your money, but I also need your prayers.
Right.
Your prayers are just as important. I'm not going to change my plea. I intend to fight for total vindication. I have very, very good lawyers. They're working at less than what they would normally charge a white-collar client like me. We have an enormous amount of discovery, 7 terabytes that the government announced in a press release that they had handed over to us. That's 450 million pages. Just to put that in perspective, if it were paper and you piled it up, it would be twice the size of the Washington Monument. So it's an enormous task to prepare for trial, but we will be prepared. But I need people to have my back. I refuse to give false testimony against anyone else. Not going to change my plea, and I'm going to trial.
Good for you. Good for you. Do you know why they switched this witch hunt on you? Why you? Why go after so hard certain individuals in this?
Well, there's a question I would really like to answer, but again, I'm not able to do so because I don't want to talk about the motives. I'll have an opportunity to address all of that at trial, and believe me, I will. I just need people to help me get there.
Yeah, it's just baffling to watch as they've never had an ounce of evidence, an ounce of anything to see actually who they have to try to turn this on. Is there anyone you trust in Washington anymore?
Well, see, my mother passed away, so that takes her out.
Yeah. I mean,
the answer is really no. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. I trust my attorneys because several of them are long-term friends.
Sure.
My longtime friend Tyler Nixon, who is a descendant of President Richard Nixon, mm-hmm. very fine lawyer, working literally around the clock on my defense.
Good.
Bruce Rogow, who represented Donald Trump in some landmark cases. My personal attorney, Grant Smith. Also, Rob Bushell, who's a former Florida prosecutor. Tara Campion, really excellent lawyers. And I'm not kidding, working round the clock to prepare for trial.
I can't even imagine. And when are these dates coming up?
My trial will be November 5th mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C. Judge Amy Jackson Berman Jackson, mm-hmm. sorry, mm-hmm. Presiding.
Okay.
In a sense, I wish the trial were tomorrow, but we agreed with the government that it's a complex case and we need time to prepare.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Go to stonedefensefund.com to help Roger Stone. And I appreciate you coming on and spending the time. The book also, The Myth of the Russia Collusion, get it, because I'll tell you, this has been such a myth, and you're right about it being on the defense and offense, because what a great way when you're doing it yourself to go accuse the enemy of it. I mean, it is.
I've written 5 books. Two of them have been New York Times bestsellers, and that's because I had full access at Facebook.
Right.
The censorship of and shadow banning going on at Facebook against conservatives across the board. It's not just Alex Jones and Milo mm-hmm. and Laura Loomer and Gavin right. McGinnis, all of whom are friends of mine, by the way.
Sure.
I don't agree with them on everything. They don't agree with me on everything, but I think they're all patriots.
Yes.
And I think it's outrageous. But that's just the tip of the spear. I mean, there are people like Mindy Robinson,
mm-hmm.
Who's a Hollywood actress and a real spitfire for liberty.
You're right.
You know, it is outrageous to see the internet censorship.
Roger Stone, thank you. Thanks for joining us today. That was great. I really appreciate you. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Is your watch?
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Kate Daly Show. Woo! Chris Ann Hall today. Also, Roger Stone, thank you for coming on. And, you know, I know there's a lot he can't say right now.
Yeah.
He's really bound to what he can say and what he can't. But, you know, watching that arrest take place and when he talked about the guys coming up out of the water, you know, amphibian mm-hmm. police force, the fact they had 17 vehicles to house all the individuals that came to get him.
It's ridiculous.
It's pretty amazing, yeah, and it's pretty sickening to see what they're able to do to any citizen, and they've done it to so many people that we've had on the show, and it's just always sickening to watch that and to see that happen, and the American people are not getting upset enough over that and about how we're treated. That was all a political circus, and they should have been called on that. CNN was made to be there on site. I mean, you think you'd watch that in a movie. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello. That was the greatest interview you've had all year, and you've been doing great stuff mm-hmm. all year.
Well, thanks.
I don't even know what to say except thank you.
Well, thank
you. And it's the best thing ever. And there's always a reason that I listen to all 3 of your hours every day.
Yeah,
thank you. Uncle Milky, are you still there?
I'm here.
Ah, swell. I didn't realize because I was just so glad that I heard the phone ringing when I picked up the phone to try a call.
Aww.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Thanks.
Don't stop, and I still think about that Tommy Cash song, please. Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Really love the phone call. That was really sweet.
Yep.
Thank you. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. that whole political circus. And I know we all roll our eyes because he was exactly right when he said it was the best defense and the best offense, Russia was. When you don't want the world to look at your own offenses, what do? You accuse the enemy of what you've done and throw the light on the enemy for what you've already participated in. And that's exactly what the Clintons did. And they were very successful at it because they owned the media. They got to be, they got the opportunity and chance to direct the media to maintain those stories. Think about all the lies you were told over the last 2 years. I had liberals on the show that were basically saying it's a done deal. The evidence is there. There was never any evidence. You had politicians saying there was evidence on the whole Russian collusion that they had actually seen with their own eyes. Does anyone care that they were absolutely lied to by these people? There's no boundaries to this anymore.
I sometimes wonder if you can actually call it lies. I think they actually convince themselves it's true.
Really? Well, it's just a corruption free-for-all. And Roger Stone sort of caught in the middle of this. I was really glad that he agreed to be on the show because I'm glad that he was able to speak out in his own voice about this. Grab his book, help him out, StoneDefenseFund.com, and also his book, the latest, was The Myth of the Russia Collusion. And it's a must-read. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I wonder what it's going to take for people to wake up. You know, they talk about like everybody needs to be woke these days.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, it seems like it's really common sense what's been going on these past few years. And I just wonder, it's like, well, what's it going to take?
It seems obvious, right? Like so obvious that you wonder how people could be suckered into those kinds of lies.
Yeah.
And now that it's been shown that they were lying, why aren't people upset?
Yeah. And you know, I think, how do you tell if you're on the right side? Mm-hmm. You know, if the issue is, if it seems like common sense and there's that peaceful, just common sense approach to it, I think that's more right. But if from your perspective, it's you have to be so hateful and destroy the other side and there's so much vitriol and anger and just, you know, derangement syndrome, I think that's kind of a sign that you might be a little off. But it's
so
common sense versus, you know, so many things have to be wrong to make your side right. I just,
I get what you're saying. Thank you. I really appreciate the call. Some great calls today. Thanks on that. You know, it's funny who's not in the news. Podestas, both of them. Haven't seen the older creepy, creeped out Podesta brother since this whole thing broke. But Podestas, Dianne Feinstein, there's a lot of people not in the news right now that it's kind of interesting as to why they're not.
Also, and we need to really start being aware and watch this, is we're starting to enter the polling season
Oh, geez, polls.
There was just a Fox News poll that said 46% of voters would vote for somebody other than anybody else right now, including the president. 26% will vote for Trump.
With 51%, they say also 51% approval rating for Trump, and now they're also
but only 46, only 26% will vote for him.
Oh my gosh!
So they're going to try to confuse us and manipulate us with crazy, crazy poll.
Yeah,
and like the poll that says Biden, if the election was today, Biden would beat Trump. Yeah. Please,
you never see. Well, we've seen the polls that pretty much put Congress as the level of gnat on a cockroach favorability. And I get that. This is what I don't understand and what I have such a hard time with are those that solely focus on Trump as anything and everything, as the negative, as the positive, as everything. This is so many more people at play. There's so many more people at play. And you know what? If I were to take a poll, and I guarantee you, and I put the questions out there. See, they never put the questions out there for a reason. They don't want to see how they geared the poll. But if I did a poll, I'd want to know how many people were awake to the very thing Kelsey Grammer said yesterday in his interview. It was a couple days ago, but the broadcast was yesterday. That how many of all of us are seeing that they're on the same side of the aisle, that there really isn't much division in Washington, that it's all a swamp for a reason. Not half of it a swamp, all of it a swamp. Yes, because that's probably the best point on this show we'll ever make is that we have to expose all of it. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Hi. Speaking of expose, you know, the Republican Party has basically Ben's peeled open with Donald Trump mm-hmm. and has shown who really is yeah. a true conservative yeah,
you're
and
right.
who isn't.
You're yep. right about that. And I yep. love the exposure. I think it's great. Yeah.
It's well, true. Well, now it's time for us to actually open up the Democrats and mm-hmm. see what they really are.
Yeah. And it's pretty sick. It's pretty evil.
Yeah. I would say to people, look at a group called the Justice Democrats.
Yes. Yes.
And this group of people they're actually getting control of the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like the Donald Trump fringe that the Ocasio-Cortezes and the Bernie Sanderses are all in. The actual mainstream Democrats do not like these guys, but they're actually moving the Democrat Party.
Yes, they
yeah.
are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And even though I'm a conservative Republican, I still like to know who my opponent is.
Yeah.
And that's why I say people
yeah.
should look and see what's going on over here, because they're going to try to cover it up and make it all look like, oh, no, we're all staunch behind Biden. Oh, no, they're not.
Yeah, they're not. They're absolutely not. And I love the exposure. It really does. There's a lot of exposure going on if people will just look. If people will just see what's right in front of their face. So I can really appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, because in our Republican Party, the Democrats thought that Trump was this fringe guy who was, even if he did make it, he was easily going to be beat because most Republicans wouldn't vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he took the party in a landslide.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And yep. that may be what's going to happen with the Democrats in their party right now with their fringe element.
Great point. Thank you for that. Yeah. Really great, great call. Great call. Always, always from him. It's true. Yeah, there's a lot we could go down on this road, but no, I, when it comes to Trump, and I had a feeling that Stone would say those things about Trump because he has known him mm-hmm. for a long time. But, and the only question I was going to ask was, did he think Trump would ever run as a Democrat? Because he did have Democrat leanings for years and years and years. But I actually think there's a huge portion of him that woke up to the amount of collusion going on. The FBI, that article, the FBI and the CIA having a dispute over whether Comey or Brennan pushed the Steele dossier. It's very telling about the agencies, about the exposure on these
yes.
agencies, the exposure on the swamp as they eat their own, which I love to see. I really do. I get a giggle out of it only because it's been needed for so long. For so long, whenever we would say these things on the air, it was like some kind of theory we were coming up with. But now it's in plain sight. So what do you do with evil in plain sight? What do you do with corruption in plain sight? It's almost as if, dare I say this, the American people don't know what to do with it. We don't like it in plain sight. We liked it when it was behind, under the hood a little bit more. Truly.
They know they have to act.
Yeah.
And they don't want to. I mean, look at how many decades we've been putting up with this.
I know. We really have, too. It really got put on steroids in the 50s and 60s. The 60s was really a great time to sort of open your eyes, and a lot of people did, and so I applaud you that did. For those that took a longer road to get there, I think more and more are getting there. And I think as this is done in plain sight, you really can't ignore it anymore. It was kind of like the report coming out. They could go any way they want with their definitions of what's in the report, but there's only so many things in the report. So when it comes down to the facts, I think people are willing to listen to that more so today, even though it contradicts maybe their love of party, because a lot of people have love of party over mm-hmm. everything else, even principle. But maybe it's a good thing, the sort of exposure and checking ourselves and taking a good hard look at, like the caller said, knowing who your enemy is, even when your
yeah.
enemy's in your camp.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I when I think the John Brennan, for example. Here, this man was for 4 years the director of the Central Intelligence Agency,
mm-hmm.
and I'm convinced he's a traitor right now. Yeah. I'm convinced
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. how much more frightening can it get than
sure.
that?
Yeah. You know, and I'm one, I've never thought Trump was going to save the Republic, as I don't think he can. It's just way too far gone. And I don't think that also he's there to destroy it either. There have been a lot of people destroying it who deserve due credit for destroying our republic all along the way. And a lot of these people are who people give often really positive reviews of and credit to in history because the way of history has presented them. And that's why on the show, I don't want to always focus so much on Trump as I do on all of the characters that are driving this republic into what it is. And there are so many on the ground. I'm not a fan of John Bolton. I'm not a fan of these people. John Bolton looks at war like Christmas. It's kind of like what Roger Stone said about the neocons fighting for their wars. And it's true. I don't like that. I'm not okay with that. You shouldn't be either, honestly. Why do you want to send our military into harm's way for the deep state to be able to profit or get what they want out of the deal or control? That isn't why we should be doing those things. But I just, this has been a really good learning situation for the last decade into how many players are involved, who's really involved, and who's bringing the republic to its knees. Because if we don't start really concentrating on that, and there's so many players at hand, how do you fight it?
You can't.
If you put all your eggs in the basket of Trump, negative or positive, that doesn't do anything. What we should be doing is looking at states' rights, your state elected officials, your Congress members. There are so many more, your Senate. There are so many other people. The power that the Supreme Court doesn't have that we think it has. There's just so much more to this.
And that's one of the reasons that right now I believe the Democrats have 23 candidates for their primary, because it keeps us from thinking about what's really going on.
Right.
Who cares what those people are?
I don't know. And with a lot of the progressive liberals at hand that are vying for president, you will see our culture go down south faster. You will see us in foreign policy go down south faster because they will truly be puppets of the deep state. And I know some people think there's opposition of the deep state that's controlling the deep, yada, yada, yada. I don't even care anymore. I know what would happen with some of these individuals. Mm-hmm. They want to destroy the republic. I do think there are individuals that could work for the deep state that actually want to save our country. But are often so tied into that they will do the bidding of the deep state too. There's lots of things going on here is my point. It's never cut and dry. That's why when people vilify Trump, I just cringe because I'm thinking, No, you can't. There is no way to do that. Plus, he's not responsible for everything.
No.
So many other people are and have been for decades doing this.
We call him Congress.
Well, I know, exactly. And we've kept him in there for decades. But we're not going to shine the light on them. We shine it on Trump. I mean, I don't get that. I think it's the strangest logic in the world.
Well,
I really do.
It's easier to dislike one man than 535.
Or examine the reason we keep these total tools in office. I mean, after they lie and lie and lie. Oh, goodness. I so appreciate all your calls. A big thank you to Roger Stone for coming on the show. And also Chris Ann Hall as well. Love the expertise. And of course, tomorrow, great show ahead and some great questions and answers tomorrow. Join us. Be faithful. Be fearless. Everybody have a great Thursday night.